Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We're blessed and so thankful that you are here to worship Jesus, our risen Savior, here this morning. As we begin this time of praise and worship, if you would, please bow your heads and your hearts. And let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And Jesus, we especially thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your mercy and your love. Father, we are just so excited to have the opportunity to come together, to worship you, to sing praises unto your holy name. So, Lord, we commit this time into your care. We ask you, Father, that you would take this time of worship, use it to glorify yourself, and may you grow us in it. And Heavenly Jesus, may we be blessed because of it, and may your holy name be risen above all other names here today. We commit this service into your name. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I am so glad you're here today.
Do not pass.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for a wonderful, wonderful, glorious Father that you are. Lord, you expect us to live our life, to follow you. Lord, just as a husband and wife, they look at each other with love, we are to look at others with love, that love that you give, that love that surpasses all understanding. Father, because this world is not where we belong. We belong one day with you, and we can't wait for that day, Lord. Please be with us and bless this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing, but am I alive? I will keep searching for answers that aren't here to find. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not. This is not where I belong. So the walls come falling down on me. And when I'm lost in the current of a raging sea, I have this blessed assurance holding me. It's not. This is not where I belong. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. This is not where I belong. This is not.
As we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, this is not where we belong, Lord, but we know that you expect us to still show that love to each other, Lord, and step out and be that shining light, Father, because we do have a friend in you, Lord, and we thank you for that. When we're going through trials or we don't understand something, let us remember to turn to you, because what a friend we do have in you, Lord, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Trouble anywhere.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for being that friend to us, Lord, for loving us. No matter what we've done, we just ask for forgiveness and you wipe it away. No more past, but a future. Just that pure love, just that love between, just like between a husband and wife and how much their love is and how strong that bond is, Lord. We thank you for the bond that you've given us, Lord, for that love you give us. We have no shame. We can hold our head up high. We don't need to be discouraged. We can hold our head up high. And we don't need to feel depressed or down in this earth because we have a bright future with you, a bright, bright future. Lord, we thank you for everything. We ask a special blessing over this church, the message, the pastor, and all those that could not be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be seated. Friends, isn't God good?
Yes.
Yes. Amen?
Amen.
All the time, God is good. God is good, friends. I don't know about you, but when we were singing those songs, it just, you know, just thinking about how good God is, and God is good, and he is good all the time. Junior worship is now dismissed. For those in kindergarten through fifth grade, we have a special ministry prepared especially for you. And as we continue this time of worship this morning, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. If you'll turn to the back of your bulletin, you'll notice with me that Sunday, October 30th, from 5 to 7, we are going to have our first annual trunk or treat right here in the church parking lot. That is the same day that the village will be having trick or treat, and there are just sign-up sheets on the fellowship hall table as you exit into the fellowship hall right there on your right. And if God is leading you to be involved in that, it's a wonderful way to reach out to the youth of this community to share the love of Christ and to foster those relationships with those young people so that we can more effectively share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to those individuals. And if you are here this morning, you're not going to want to miss this, friends. On Fridays from 6 o'clock to 7 or 7-ish, we are having what we're calling Frontline. And if you're here and you're wondering how you're to share your faith, please come. And come on Fridays at 6 p.m. We'll be meeting upstairs in the classroom. And if you're just struggling with what do I say, how do I interact, how do I bring up my faith with my family or friends, you know, come out on Fridays from 6. We had a wonderful group this past Friday, and we just started, so there's never too late to get involved in that. Also, Thursday, October the 20th, from 6:30 to 7:15, if you're on the staff parish, please be here for the charge conference. And if you're not on the staff parish, we are inviting everyone else from the congregation to be involved and be a part of the charge conference. And for those that are new, that's our annual meeting where things are voted on, things are passed, things are discussed. And so if you are just now getting plugged into Trinity, we invite you to come out and be a part of that charge conference. It's a really informative time, and it's a very important meeting. So please put that on your calendar, and we will look forward to sharing that time with you on Thursday, October the 20th. And lastly, we are looking for volunteers to be part of the worship team. And if you're here and you have the ability to work sound or the ability to do PowerPoint, please see Mike and Stephanie, and they can get you plugged in, and we can get you trained and get you involved. We want to, you know, have everybody, as God is leading them, to be involved in this wonderful way that we can worship the Lord Jesus Christ. As we continue this time of praise and worship, let's listen to a reading from the Word of God from the book of 1 Peter.
Today's reading from the Word will be found on page 1889 in your pew Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a Gentile and a quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs of with you of the generous gift of life, the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we all be blessed. If the ushers will now come forward, we'll be giving our tithes and our offerings.
Kind, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you for all the many blessings you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning, friends, is World Communion Sunday, and before we turn our attention to the Lord's table, I just want to share with you, it is also just about 30 days ago that I committed my life to a young lady by the name of Kathy. And so I thought it would be fun, as you'll notice the title of the sermon, What Have I Learned in the First 4 Weeks of Marriage? And friends, I can tell you I've learned a lot. I have absolutely learned an immense amount. And so I am not here to say that I'm any expert. For some of you that have been married for 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 or plus years, I am a sojourner. But what I can tell you is it doesn't matter if you are here that and you're single, you're here in a relationship that is not what you would like, or if you are here and you are happily married, I believe that God's word is true. And it will apply to you and to me and to all of us if we have an open mind, an open heart, and a desire to grow and to follow what God would have for you and for me. And so, friends, the first thing that I learned in the first 4 weeks of marriage is that sometimes God wants you and me to be Jesus to your spouse. I'll say that again. Sometimes God wants you or me to be Jesus to your husband or your wife. Now, let me explain. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and that this text was read a little bit ago, if you have your Bibles, turn there. If you don't, please turn to page 1889 in your pew Bibles. And I want you to listen to these words from the Apostle Peter. He begins in verse 1 of chapter 3. He says, "Wives, likewise." And then you could also jump over to verse 7, and you could see the same thing, "Husbands, likewise." Now, this likewise, you could circle it in your text, and it refers to what he said before. And we're not going to go there, but I challenge you on your own time. What he is speaking about before in chapter 2, he's speaking about how Jesus submitted himself unto the will of the Father, and even to the point where he knew that what he was going to endure was not going to be pleasant. Now, before some of you men in here count up the verses and say, he gives the wives 6 verses and only the husbands 1. I need to explain something to you here this morning. In Peter's day, in the Greco-Roman world, the wives were subjected to the will of the husband. And whether you realize it or not, the husbands or the man of the house had the power to of life and death in the home. To the point of that, you know, with the children, he could say, no, they're not going to live and we're going to kill them. You have all these honor killings in that area of the world. Are you familiar with that? Where they shame the family. And then the husband or the man of the house says, look, no, they're not worthy to live. And so what Peter is addressing, he's addressing a difficult situation for these women who would come to Christ and would accept faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he's trying to encourage them to live in a proper manner. And friends, the tumultuous nature of the situation that he experienced was far different than the power, the authority, and the control that the husbands experienced when they came to Christ. And so that's the reason you have 6 verses for the women and only 1 for the men. Because typically if the husbands came to Christ or if the husbands followed a different religion, the families followed suit. And so you didn't have this difficulty. You didn't have this tension that when the wives, as sometimes they would happen, that they would come to Christ. And so Peter takes 6 verses to ensure that they know what God's will is for them. And friends, God's will for the women, if you're here today and you find yourself in a relationship and it's not exactly what you wish, if you're here today and you're a woman and you're single and you're saying, what's going on? I can attest to you that after 45 years of singleness, I can attest to you that sometimes God wants you and me to be Jesus to other people. It doesn't matter if it's your husband or wife. It doesn't matter who it is. And there's a procedure that we can follow in order to do that. And I may be meddling here this morning, but maybe I'm a newlywed, and maybe that, you know, kind of gives me the thought that I have permission to meddle. But quite frankly, friends, this is God's will for you and for me to be Christ to other people, and we need to start in the home. We need to start with those individuals that we stood before the altar of God, and we said our I do's and we said our I will's, because quite frankly, friends, if it doesn't start at the home, we can never expect it to go forth from the home. And there's one word, and it's the S word, and we don't like this word in our culture, and it's submission. And in chapter 2, Peter is talking about submission, and then he goes, and wives, likewise, do the same as Jesus did with God the Father. Submit. And friends, we need to align our focus. And that's what he's talking to the wives about. To align your focus. And then to set your priorities. And the priority for the women needs to be to generate the inward attitude of the heart. And the word gentleness, it's used 3 times in the whole New Testament, friends. 2 of which Jesus described himself. Let that sink in. What Peter is saying to the women is he's saying, I want you to cultivate the very virtue and characteristics that Jesus claimed and did extol in his heart, mind, and soul. And this is what I want for you, ladies. I want you to be Jesus to your husbands. And friends, I can attest to this. The last church that I was at, it does not always happen this way, but sometimes it does. There was a husband and wife, and they were not on good terms, and they came to me for counsel. I pointed them to this passage because the husband wouldn't come. So I pointed the wife to this passage, and I said, hey, by your good conduct, by your gentle spirit, if you put your priorities right, if your focus is right, quit worrying about the externals, quit spending so much time in the mirror, and generate the inward attitude of Christ, which is highly much more valuable than any external look or any external appearance. And if you focus on that, maybe, just maybe, now this doesn't always happen, but the promise here is that sometimes, friends, by the good and chaste and quietness and gentleness, conduct of the women of the house, the husband will see and he will then follow suit. That's being Christ to your mate. That's being Jesus to the one that you said you will commit to them. And then when we focus on the inward actions, the focus and generating and allowing the Spirit of God to mold us and to shape us and to form us in the manner that only God can do, then, friends, our actions are reflective of what God would have for you and for me. And ladies, if you're here and you're single, submit to Jesus, submit to Jesus, submit to Jesus. If you're here and you're in a relationship and you don't want to be in that type of relationship, then follow these instructions and be Christ to your husband. Be Christ to him. And if you're here in a relationship that you find fulfilling and absolutely promising, praise God. But don't ever stop being Jesus to your husband. Don't ever stop. I can tell you in 4 weeks, I have had to be Jesus to Kathy many times. Now, that's not a knock on her, friends. We are two fallen individuals. We are two individuals that were conceived in sin, that were born into sin, and we're two individuals that have the damned nature from Adam. And when you take two individuals, no matter how much their heart has been given over to the Lord God, and you put them together, there's going to be issues, and the scriptures attest to that. The Apostle Paul says, you get married, you're going to have problems. And friends, you will have problems. You cannot get married and not have problems. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. It happens. In 4 weeks, it's happened. It doesn't matter. It will happen. But it's what God wants for you and for me. And for you ladies here, he's saying, be Jesus to your husbands. Be Jesus. Reflect what only God wants to reflect to them. Give them the gentleness, the quietness, the chasteness of the inwardness of what your beauty is in. The world says beauty is only skin deep, and friends, it is. The older that we get, I look in the mirror and I'm thinking, oh, what happened here? I'm serious. It happens, does it not? And so the value of what's inside of us is much more valuable than the externals. And that's what God is saying to you and to me, to value what he esteems to be right. The world looks at the externals, but God looks at the what? The heart. And he sees the heart. And he sees what's inside of you and inside of me. And if you're in a situation, no matter what situation it is, submit to God and be Jesus to others. And start with your husband. Now for you men here. Verse 7. Sometimes it's not the quantity, but it's the essence and the quality. And Peter, he goes on and he says, husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding. We are called to live with our wife, with understanding, to give her honor as to the weaker vessel. Now, can I make something clear? Can I just stop right here and make something clear? Peter is not speaking of a woman being weaker in intellect, in purpose, in God's call. He is simply referring to women being physically. Now, this doesn't happen all the time because I've lifted in certain gyms where certain women were extremely stronger than I was, and I was playing college football. And I'm telling you, I would go in there and there were ladies in there that would throw around more weight than I would. And so it doesn't happen all the time. But the general rule is most men are stronger physically than their wives, right? And so that's all he is referring to. And what we need to do as men is we need to get our minds out of this mindset of saying, I have a higher calling. No, because let's look at the next phrase. Because as being heirs, joint heirs together of the grace of life. You see, in God's eyes, there is no difference. In heaven, there is neither male nor female. In heaven, there is no marriage. In heaven, there's no position. And so, friends, we as men, we need to understand that we need to be Jesus to our wives. And how do we do that? We live with them, not just in any manner of way. We live with them with understanding. We honor them. We honor them, friends, because we esteem them. And some people have said that chivalry is dead. And maybe it's true. But if you are here and you're married and you want to honor your wife, maybe you need to look up what chivalry means. Maybe you need to start holding the door for your wife. Maybe you need to start caring and honoring her, to esteem her, to uplift her, to say, I honor you because I care about you. And then the last thing that Peter says is, and we need to consider them as a joint heir to the gospel, because they are friends. And it all starts, friends, with submission to Christ. Now, what I can tell you is in 4 weeks, I can attest to you that if you're here and you're a man and you do not live with understanding, you do not honor your wife, and you do not consider her as a joint heir, then the last phrase of this verse will be true. Your prayers will be hindered. That's a scary thing, friends. That's an absolute scary thing. I can attest in 4 weeks it didn't take me long to figure that out. It didn't take me long that I was amiss. I was going awry, and quite frankly, I was not being Jesus to Kathy. I was not being Christ to her because I was not living with her with understanding. I was not honoring her. I was not considering her as a joint heir. And see, our world sometimes, it puts all these different, you know, opinions and viewpoints on us. Are you a traditionalist view? Are you progressive? And what's your view of your roles in marriage? Oh, that's hogwash. That's bunk. Maybe we need to understand that we submit to God and we be Christ to one another. We be Christ to our wife and to our husband. And when we are Jesus to one another, then maybe God can get in there and begin to work. But for you men, I want you to notice, I've heard a lot of messages on this passage, and I haven't heard a lot on this verse 7. I don't think I've ever heard one where it highlights the fact that your prayers will be hindered. And here's the reason why, friends, is because when my fellowship with my wife is broken, then how can I expect to have any fellowship with a living, holy God, a living Lord? I cannot. Because to this world, and if you know it or not, if you are a Christian husband and wife, you are a small picture of God's relationship to the church. Let that sink in. God wants to reflect how he relates to the church through Christian marriages. And in that relationship, the husband is to play the role of Christ and sacrifice and honor and live and consider and be considerate in all things to his wife. Now, that doesn't mean to get everything that you want. That does not what that means. God doesn't give us everything that we want. But what it means is that we will not put undue pressure upon our wives and expect them to do things that they, quite frankly, should not be expected. God doesn't expect you or I to do things that we cannot do. That's why the scripture attests that a bruised reed he will not break, nor a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And that means that he knows what you and I can handle. And we as men, sometimes we put that undue pressure on our spouses. And we need to stop. We need to be Jesus. We need to be Christ to our spouse. And for you women, sometimes you don't want to submit. You want to lord over and take over the reins and take over the role. And you know what? As a church, as the body of Christ, we are called to submit. In a few moments, we're going to take communion. We're going to do it a little different this morning. We're going to be dismissed. Jerry's going to dismiss us, and he's going to bring us up to the rail. And you're going to bow, if you're able, at the rail. You'll be given a piece of bread, and you'll be given a cup. And then everybody at the rail will take all together, and then you will be dismissed, and then the next group will come. But friends, know this, that if you are able to bow on your knees at the altar rail here, that's an action of submission. And it starts with you and me, with our relationship with God. We cannot reflect or be Jesus to our husbands or to our wives or to anybody else for that matter until we fully and 100% submit our hearts, minds, and souls to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm not saying put one foot in and one foot out. The world will teach you that. I'm not saying be non-committal. The world will teach you that. God doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you. He wants your whole heart. He wants your entire mind. He wants your entire strength. It says to love the Lord God with all your mind, soul, strength, and everything that you are. And that's what we need to do. If we are going to be Christ to those that we love and those that we care about the most, starting in the home, it has to start here, friends. And if it doesn't start here, and if you're here and you're single and you haven't submitted and you have not held back part of your heart and you haven't given Jesus all of your heart, then I attest you need to do that today. Because I can tell you, after 20 plus years of earnestly submitting my heart to Christ, it's a whole lot easier putting myself in a relationship to do what God has asked me to do. Because I have a whole lot less. Now, I'm not saying there's things that I still have much to learn. 4 weeks, my goodness. I'm not saying I've got it all figured out. That's not at all what I'm saying. But Kathy is in the same boat. You take two individuals who have chased after God for the majority of their life, and I guarantee you they understand submission better than those individuals who have lived the way that they wanted to live for their entire life. We've had our issues, and we will. But we have come out laughing, smiling, hugging, and saying, praise be to God. And then we are able to be Jesus to one another. And that, my friends, is exactly what God wants for you and for me. He wants you and me to be Christ to those we love and then to those in this world. So let us pray. And then let us meet around the Lord's table here this morning. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for the charge that you have given to all of us to be your son, to allow your son to reflect through us, to allow your love to permeate our hearts so that our actions will be becoming of what you would have from us. And Father, may it start in the home. May it start with our spouses, with our husbands, with our wives, with those that we cherish, those that we love, those that we stood at the altar before you and said our I do's and our I will's and committed to be what you want us to be for them. And that, oh God, is to be your son to them. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time of meeting around your table. We thank you for the sacraments of the bread and the cup, and we pray that you would bless the bread and bless the cup, and we remember that on the night that you were betrayed, O Christ, you took the bread and you broke it, and you said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, you took the cup, and you said, this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me. Father, may you grant us the courage to face the failures and the flaws and the faults that we have stubbed our toe in and done, and things that you can allow us to shore up in those areas of our life. And Father, may we first start by fully submitting to you, giving you our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, and not holding anything back. Meet with us, we pray. In the holy name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, O Lord, for your grace, your mercy, and your love. We thank you for the blessed opportunity that we can be Jesus to each other and to those people that we come across each day. Father, may it start with our heart and with you. May it start in our hearts and submitting to you. And may you just give us the courage and the boldness and the direction and the wisdom and the guidance to garner, to generate those characteristics that reflect you to others. And may we be Jesus to all that we come across. We thank you for this time that we have spent around your table. We bless you and we thank you. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. It is our tradition here at Trinity, after we partake in communion, to take up a benevolent offering. And that goes to those in our congregation and those within the community that are in need to help with rent or utility bills or food or any of those items. And so if the ushers would please come. May we give back sacrificially as God has given sacrificially to us.
I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine I can only imagine. Well, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Where and all will you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? And I'll be able to speak it all. I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, Lord, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. We're surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Where and all will you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? And I'll be able to speak it all. I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, Lord, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. We're surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Where and all will you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? And I'll be able to speak it all. I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, Lord, forever worship you. I can only imagine. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that you made for us. For we can only imagine what that's going to be like one day when we do get to walk with you and talk with you. Lord, because we carry so much with us in this life that we don't need to carry. We need to give it to you. Father, there's 10,000 reasons we should do that, Lord. But only one is that love that you've given us, the love, the pure love, the love just between as a husband and wife would have. Let us be that example into this world, Lord. We thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, 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 my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. How my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day.
Rich in the majesty.
Here this morning, friends, that is what awaits you and me. God blessing your soul. If you choose to be Christ to others, it will put you on a journey that there is no other journey like it. It will give you the joy that this world doesn't know, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the confidence that comes from on high. It will give you the strength that comes from the living Lord. As we close, may you be blessed truly and richly by the living Lord God, the one who came and lives forevermore. May he bless your soul as you journey and reflect his goodness, his mercy, his love, and his forgiveness to those in your family and those you come across, as you are Jesus to others. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.